Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Nuts Pro, the M&M&M show. We are here with show number 91, and I am Marvin B., and I am joined by our two esteemed hosts, Mr. Matthew Rainey. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, now that most of the week is over.
All right. And joined by Martin Obando. Mr. Obando, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, plus one. Just wanted to get that in.
Oh, the plus one.
And how are you today,
Martin? And I'm going to go back to the old standby and say that I am doing Comcastic. And I know that you, Mr. Rainey, are gigatastic.
That's right, I am.
Mr. Obando, I just have to revisit this and give you a chance to correct us if you are not either orgastic or orgastic. If you had a chance to think about that over the past week.
I got nothing. And it's snowing here. So how about snowtastic?
Snowtastic. Okay.
There we go.
That'll be a good seasonal choice for us.
You really need to mention that term orgastic to people who aren't in Oregon. And that way people who aren't in Oregon think that that's actually a thing that y'all say.
Like y'all.
Like y'all. Exactly.
It doesn't really exist. You just make us all, everybody else outside of the South think that you actually really do say that.
And then when you say it, we laugh at y'all.
Exactly. That's how you can find the people who are from out of state.
That's right.
Just said you all, foreigners.
Oh.
Well, we have the people who wear shoes and not Birkenstocks and socks. That's how we can tell when you're not from Oregon.
If they're wearing shoes?
Right, because a lot of Oregon people wear Birkenstocks with socks.
Nice.
I don't at all. I wear shoes, so I'm still considered.
My brother wears flip-flops with socks.
He'd fit right in. Have him move to Oregon.
Yeah, we make fun of him for that.
Well, he'd fit right in. Nobody would make fun of him for that. We'd make fun of him for orgastic, orgastic, whatever it is.
And down here, it's just flip-flops, no socks, because I'm by the beach.
I go sockless with flip-flops as well. My brother's the black sheep of the family when he does that.
Are they black socks?
No, they're usually very bright white, so you really notice them.
Oh, my. All right, so gentlemen, I think we're going to have a nice little show here tonight, so let's dig right in with no ado. What stories, tips do we have this evening?
I got a few. I'll start with one. I had a call from a customer, and we don't get calls from this customer very often. They like to solve their own problems, or maybe they create their own problems. Anyway, they called and said they can't scan anymore from their network scanners. And that's all the information they provided until you get on the phone with them and I say, what changed? Something changed, because you don't just walk in one day and both scanners don't work. Right? Well, nothing changed. Nothing changed. And then she goes, well, we did get a new router. Okay. Well, that's a big thing. So there's no server at this location. So the router was doing DHCP. And they have, I will call the network scanners they have, when they got them, they must have been pioneer devices. One of the first of its kind that can do network scanning. These things are old, but they don't want to replace them because they work fine. So looking into it, I found from our past notes, right? You got to keep notes, that the scanner, you know, normally when you go to a network scanner, you can go to the web interface and you have an address book, right? That you enter your destinations for network scanning, right? We've all seen that probably, right? This one has a web interface, but no address book. So I'm looking at my notes and I find that what we had to do was go to the panel of each network scanner. And you have to put in IP addresses only. It doesn't take names, only IP addresses. So in the router that they got rid of, we had reservations for all the computers that they scan to, because that's otherwise the IPs are going to change. I don't like giving them static IPs on the machines, because some of them are notebooks. And when they go home, it's not going to work. So we do reservations. Well, they just wiped all that out. So, and they gave the new router a different IP address. So in the settings on the printer, they had the wrong gateway, wrong DNS. Now, of course, the reservations are all wiped out. And, of course, she had no clue, because they call us for that thing until they messed with it for 2 days and couldn't get their scanning going. Now, I got into the router, and it was a Netgear R8000 or something. This was yesterday. And it's not what I would get. It's a consumer-grade router, right? You get it off the shelf at whatever your local store is. And I gave her the whole spiel about how they should have a business-class router for security. But last night, I go home, and I'm reading an article about Netgear. And did you see this? That Netgear released a warning for people with certain routers to turn off their Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
That's the router they had.
Sweet.
So anyway, the Netgear released, if you had a handful of models that you... It's easily hackable that people can get onto your Wi-Fi network and see all your traffic.
So this is also the Nighthawk X6, the AC3200, right?
It was like 4 or 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah. But I mean, I've seen that night, that R800 also has, or R8000 also has some other names to it.
Yeah.
So
I told her, when I called her today, I told her about that, and she's all up in arms because they just went and got this thing without talking to us. And I had to remind her, well, how did you even know the router was bad? Who diagnosed that? You didn't call us. Oh, the guy who went and bought it said it was bad. Okay, so we're going to take his word for it because we don't know.
Just the guy. Some guy.
Yeah, some guy in the front. So now... they've got this router, which she doesn't want to use the Wi-Fi anymore, which they have an Ingenious access point. Before, their router was not didn't include wireless, so we had an Ingenious access point. So she doesn't know what to do, and I told her, well, we can disable the Wi-Fi on the Netgear. You can keep using the Ingenious that was set up. Anyway, that was a big mess because they try and save us some money. They don't want to call us. But then they ended up paying us probably more because now we've got to redo all the reservations. We've got to redo everything that they took out of service and put it back in service. So as usual, when people try and save money, it costs them more money and time and lost productivity because they can't scan. That was one thing that happened yesterday and today. It ran into today.
I had bookmarked that Netgear information, and I'm just now going back and looking at it. And I actually have a client that has a couple of those. Luckily, the site is not being used, but it is the public wireless for the network, so it's not going to touch the private, and they've shut down the office, the private office in there, but they do have that set up for the guest network, so I'm going to have to drive out of state to go fix that.
And she did ask me, did we set the router up right? When you're looking, can you check? And so I log in with the default login. I say, well, that's one strike. You still have the default password for the admin, so... without looking too much into it, I can say no, you didn't. So,
wow, that must have been fun. So, speaking of router, I got to yell at another tech today.
That's always fun.
And, well, let me read. When I say other tech, one of those phone support techs that customers call when they have issues. So, my customer today called me. I got a call from like one of their managers who was out of the office because she got a call from their office saying that they were having issues with their phones. And the issue was that if you talked, there was a 15-second delay before the other person heard you. And then that person would talk, and then there would be a 15-second delay, and it was progressively getting worse. So I call over there, and the girl that was on the phone had just hung up with the tech. And I said, okay, so what's the problem? She tells me, and she'll get the tech right back on the phone, call me back. So she calls me back. So she calls me back because the tech, all he wants is the password to the router. And we're going to go PG-13 here because my response was, oh, hell no.
Right.
Yep.
So I said, get me on the phone and let's see what's going on.
It's like somebody calling a doctor and saying, I'm just curious, where would I cut if I was going to remove an appendix? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I ask my wife that all the time.
So I call, so we get on the phone, and I'm going to go ahead and say the name of the company because they deserve it. 8x8. And the tech is like, well, I know what the problem is. It's you guys, and so I just need to get into your router and check the settings. And I'm like, no, you don't. He's like, well, yes, I do, because I said, no, you do not. So I get to explain to the tech that we had been with them for 2 years. We had already spent many a times checking our settings in the router. It's a simple sonic wall router. You know, they do have a couple of voice settings and stuff like that. There's really only two. in this Honeywell router. And we haven't had issues that often. But every time we have had issues, of course, their first response is, well, can you reboot your router? And I'm at the point now where I'm saying, no, we are not rebooting the router for many reasons. One of which, rebooting the router never seems to fix your problem. And we're not having trouble with anything else. My customer has a cloud-managed medical management software that seems to be functioning just fine. We've got remote access people connecting in. They don't seem to be having any trouble. So he proceeds to tell me, well, I've got a test running on one of your systems, and I can see that there's an issue. And I have to say, what test are you running and on what system? So the girl that had called had just allowed them to remote into her computer so he can run these series of advanced tests. So what do you think those advanced tests are?
Ping. Running a ping test?
He's got two windows up. One is a ping to Google, and the other is a program called WinMeter.
Whoa, you didn't say WinMeter. That's pretty advanced.
I said.
It has the word meter in it.
Yes. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the IP address that he's got in there, and it's Google's IP address. And he's like, oh, well, the milliseconds are high. And I'm like, okay, so they're 23, 27. What's the problem here?
Yeah, high, I would think 500, 600.
Yeah.
In the hundreds.
I think there was one max at like 283. And he's like, well, yeah, well, this is a problem with you or your ISP. And I'm like, you know what? I am just going to stop right now and tell you that you're wrong. Well, it can't be us because, you know, our servers never go down. I'm like, excuse me, let's go back 6 months when you didn't have phone service for 2 days. And so he just was like, well, what do you expect me to do? You have a problem. I'm like, no, 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 you have a problem. And I said, don't even get me started. He's like, well, until you can get on site. I said, look, if I come on site and I plug in my Fluke, I'm billing you $300. Don't try to tell me how to be a tech when all you can do is a stupid little ping test and tell me that's an advanced diagnostic. And I said, so now hang up. We'll deal with the phone issues. If we need you, we'll call you back.
I mean, you got to go to the command prompt and everything for that thing. So did you fix the problem?
It just miraculously resolved itself about 5 minutes after that.
You mean after, like, the ping test died and went away? And
yeah. Maybe his advanced testing was causing the problem.
It was a joy.
Oh, your ping test brought down my network.
I mean, that thing was just scrolling across the screen.
You could have said, maybe it's a problem at Google. Call Google and see if there's a problem with their servers, because you're pinging their servers.
Well, that was the whole thing, and I left out a whole bunch of stuff, because one of the things was, I'm like, well, why don't you ping your server and see if there's an issue there?
Right.
Well, our servers never go down.
So that's a good reason to ping it, because we know it's always up.
That's right.
Well, and my thinking is just a side note here, is that pinging Google's never, it's a quick test, but it's not a great test because Google has so many servers spread over so many locations that you may be pinging, let's say San Francisco, ping, 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 and all of a sudden San Francisco hiccups, and all of a sudden now it's going to shift you to New York, and all of a sudden your latency goes up.
Right.
Not by much. So that's not, I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking out of line here.
We know these things.
Right. It seems like that's not a very good place. I mean, if you're going to ping something, don't ping something that has failover. Ping, you know, a server.
Well, ping your server if your servers never go down.
Exactly.
You know, and don't try to say, well, you know, yeah, well, we're having trouble pinging Google. Okay, well, that's not my customer's problem. My customer has nothing to do with Google. We're trying to fix your phones.
Right. What's the latency going to your server?
I usually ping two things just to compare because I want to know if it's mine going down or if it's them going down.
Right.
I mean, that's me. I just ping. If I'm pinging, I ping two different servers.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping to keep my cool long enough because after I hung up the phone, I thought, oh, this would have been a great job for Ping Plotter.
Yep.
Oh.
There you go.
You should still run it. Just run it to his servers. And if it goes down, show it to him. Look, it did go down.
You say, let me show you something more advanced than Win Pingy.
Yeah. Mine's got a nice, pretty graph, so it's complicated.
You may want to not look at this direction. I'll tell you, close your eyes. I'll tell you when to look.
Martin, you got a router story?
I had something. It's go. Oh yes. You're gonna have to refresh your memory. So No. So I was putting Ping Plotter in our notes. I got a call the other day. This would have been Monday.
The other day.
Well, no, I was trying to figure out the date. It would have been Monday. from a clinic of mine that I manage and maintain. They have a camera system, and something happened a month ago, and their data was set to overwrite in the camera system a month back. They only held 30 days. So at like 10 o'clock in the morning, the business manager was able to jump in, check out the camera from two different locations in the clinic, and see what they were looking for. So then she calls me, and I'm not available because I'm working on another project, and she just leaves me a message saying, call me back ASAP. I don't get a chance to call her back ASAP because I was working on other. I mean, I called her back within like 2 hours.
But that's as soon as possible.
But that's as soon as possible.
Right.
So she
that's
says
what it means.
Right. And I don't really have a, you know, most of my clients are right around, you know, 2 to 3 hours. I'll get back to them. And if possible, I'll get right away. But I don't, if it starts to hang a long time, what usually ends up happening, I'll call them and I'll say, I'm busy with another project. Just want to let you know I heard. I'll have to give you a call back. She calls me and says, what I need to know is how to back up and save data from the camera system. I'm like, well, that's something that the camera system went over with you and the doctor with, but not with me because they didn't want to pay me to be on site to learn the camera system. They paid me to be on site to make sure the camera system accessed the internet and the networking. And then I was told, that's it. Thank you very much. And I said, okay, I will leave. And so by the time we got back to her, the data had already been overwritten. Like, time's up. Boop, gone.
Why would she call the camera people?
Well, she did call the camera people, and the camera people told her the data's still there. It hasn't been overwritten. Have your IT guy do a recovery, do a data recovery. So they called me and they said, "Here's what we need: we need two cameras from dates 11/10 and 11/11 to see what you can find."
Wait, you're supposed to data recovery the hard drive to recover overwritten files?
Well, they said the camera people said the data hasn't been overwritten yet. Like they have, I mean, how? As techs, we can't even tell you that the data hasn't been overwritten yet. There's just no way to say that. So, I mean, right?
Right, but you got to run data recovery tools to see if you can get it back.
Right.
Can't they just increase their retention policy on this?
They did, but we need the data. We need the data from that day, and it's already been deleted. It's been 30 days, and she saw it in the morning, and come noon, that was the 30-day timeout. And
she should have checked the camera sooner.
Well, I can't say that. I mean, that's what I would like to say to them of if you notice that something's missing and you suspect that somebody's been stealing something, why wait 30 days into it? So I spent that evening running some data recovery and was able to find some stuff, but not everything. And I'm just curious what you guys, I threw it out to Marvin. I know you probably have seen it. I threw it out to a group of just asking people what they use for just data recovery. Got a couple, people to say anything, but is that something, I am not an expert in data recovery at all. I did tell them, I said, if this is something that you really need to get, then we probably need to shut the server down,
right,
the camera system down, which will take all your cameras offline. We'll probably need to pull the hard drive and figure out either how to image it, which we can do, but I don't know if that's going to be destructive on anything, and then send it away for data recovery. And she says, well, that's an option. I said, okay. And I said, what happens if I, using these tools that are very inexpensive and or free, what if I can't find the data you're looking for? And her words were, then I'm going to throw myself on the ground and I'm going to kick and scream and pound my fists and kind of like a little temper tantrum.
So is it something, is it valuable what she's looking for?
Yes.
Okay. So I would have said, shut the servers down. We need to stop writing to those drives right now. And that's what I would say. We need to image it. And then we need to do data recovery on it. And it could be, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever it's going to be. There's going to be a significant cost to this. And after we get it imaged, then you can put it back in service. And the first thing you need to do is increase your retention policy.
Right. So the retention policy has been increased to 45 days now.
So now that's just going to mean she can wait 44 days to look at it until she needs it.
Right. And what I did find, I'm hoping I found some data from the 10th, but not, and possibly the 11th. Now, remember, the 11th was a holiday. This is November. So the recordings only record when there's movement. So I only found a couple things from that day. So we'll see what happens. I reached out to them and said, did you find what you were looking for? Because then I had to take the data, put it back in the archive folder, and then she had to call the camera company for them to be able to access, basically import that data from the archive folder, and I didn't hear back from them. But I did talk to the doctor, the owner. So this is the business manager that I've been talking to. She doesn't sign my check. She doesn't make the final calls. So I did talk to the owner of the company, and I said, we can send this off for data recovery. And he says, no, it's not that, So
it's just worth a temper tantrum. It's not worth actually money.
I've worked with this company long enough that the doctor's like, whatever, it's all good. And she's like, red line. So, and he usually has to kind of talk her down a little bit. But,
okay.
So is there not an option to go back to the camera company and say, can we have a system where we can offload data when we need it or get bigger hard drive capacity or something other than just overwriting data? I mean, they might as well have a VHS tape in there.
Right. Yes, that's probably a valid option. I don't think they want to spend for that.
Okay, moving on.
So what we're dealing with, wants versus finances. And if you have enough money, you can get everything you want. But if you limit your finances, then you have to, you know. So I have got a couple ideas of what we can do for the future, but it's not going to be, you know, right now the whole camera system is almost a terabyte worth of data. So as far as, you know, 30 days, and I know that's going to get bigger. So doing something like an external hard drive, that's just going to fill up too fast. You know, we really need, we're going to need like a huge NAS to get, if they're really going to want some long-term data off of the camera system that's outside of the local retention policy. And I'm not sure that's that important to them.
Not until they need it.
Right.
Well, it's important based on the value of what was stolen, right?
Right. And I have no idea what it is.
So it must not have been that much money.
I have no idea. I can speculate, but...
If it was thousands of dollars, you know, what's the threshold limit for whether it's a, you know, petty theft as opposed to grand theft in the state of Oregon?
I have no idea. I choose to steal under $100 each time, so I know I'm pretty safe. I mean, borrow.
You should have filmed yourself doing something and say, here's what I recovered.
My hand reaching in and grabbing a Snickers bar.
I didn't look at it yet, so let me know if this is what you need.
And then the next night... catch you putting it back.
Could be tiptoeing across the screen. I knew it. It's a computer guy. He did this.
He came in on the off. Yeah. So that was one of the kind of a, you know, that took me a while to recover that data. Just because it's a lot of sitting there waiting, watching, okay, am I getting stuff? Am I not? Because there's no way to, it's just data recovery is not my forte. I don't explain, you know, plan to, don't state that I am that person. There are definitely people out there who are smarter than me who know exactly what to do when it comes to data, especially recovery and as well as, what is it, protection? That's not the word I'm looking for, but making it secure. So somebody's probably yelling it at their radio right now. This is the word you're looking for. What's his name? Matt? Not Matt. Is it Matt?
What?
My hard drive died.
That's Scott.
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 Molden. So Molden. He has all those tools, right? That's what he does.
That's correct. I've sent him a few drives to recover stuff from.
But that was one of the issues that I ran into this week.
All right. So we had fun. So let's take a break and let's go over our
sponsors.
Stack of email.
Oh, thought we had a sponsor. This episode of PodNuts Pro brought to you by Informed IT. All your IT paperwork needs Informed IT.
There you go. Use the promo code PODNUTS if you want 25% off.
Hey, you doing this promo or am I?
I just thought I'd mention it. If you don't want to use a promo code, that works for me too. Merry Christmas.
And we wouldn't sell you something we wouldn't use ourselves.
Now, that's not a week collectively just for asterisks down there in the bottom corner.
Wee-wee. All right, so our email today comes from Marty's G account.
That's not me.
Is this spoofed? Is this spoofed or no, is it actually from Marty?
That's what it says. It says Marty's G account. And subject, cloning a server. So it says, hi guys, I worked for a company as the IT person for about 10 years. I became ill and was forced to stop working. I hope you're okay with us reading this, but you sent it in and...
Yes. Disclaimer, if you send us an email, it could be read on the show unless you say, don't read this on the show.
During that time, when the company got into some problems, they would ask me to help them out. If I could take care of it from home, I would. If I couldn't, then I would wait for the day I felt well enough to go there and take care of it. They had the biz server go down, and I was not so good. I advised them to call the IBM tech and ask him to help them out. They advised me that the server had the MOBO die, and the cost was more than they could afford. I advised them to look on eBay for a replacement and then see if they could get the IBM tech to migrate the system over to the new server. It all worked out, but they were down for a full week. The cost was much more than they thought it would be. They do understand how bad it was to be offline for a week. That being said, it has been about 18 months since that happened, and two of my friends at work bought the biz from the old owners before they went under. One of my friends, now being concerned about the server going down and me not back to work yet, has asked me to find out if he can clone the server. This way, if the eBay server dies like the last one, we can just go right onto the clone and keep on working, or at least have minimal downtime. My thoughts? Do we really need to set up hardware identical to the server they have now? That's question number one. Question number two, would it be cheaper to get a small server and put a clone on a virtual server? I'm kind of lost. Got any ideas? I hope. Thanks. P.S. Thanks for the show. It keeps me up to date while I'm at home.
All right. Who wants to go first?
My mouth is dry from reading. You guys go.
All right. I'll go first. So number one, is it cheaper to have a, what was the one number one? I'm going to make you read it again. I should probably just pull it up the email.
Identical hardware to the server they now have, which was the eBay server.
Okay. Or to some kind of a cloning, right?
Yes.
Okay. So my initial response on when I first grabbed this email is that having a duplicate, and I'm going to air quote, disaster recovery server, exactly, that's going to require a lot of effort. That's going to require you at some point shutting down the server that's in production, imaging it, putting that image then on another server and bringing it back up so you have identical. Because at some point there, I mean, as soon as you image the server and you have that identical server and you bring the original server back online, you're already out of date, right? That your disaster recovery, your failover server is already old. So you have to figure out some way to either, if you want to go this route, is having two servers on site. You know, before the show we talked about, you're going to have split your DHCP scope. You're going to have to make sure DNS is on that. You're going to have to make sure your group policy is on that. You know, duplicate domain controllers. And so that is an option. It seems like it's a lot of hard work for that. That's my thought. Number two would be what to do about that. What I do is I use a program called Shadow Protect. It's a bit expensive. I think somewhere it's under $2,000. And what that does is that then takes an image of the server, and you can set it up to take images every half an hour, every hour, every 6 hours, whatever you want to do, and then put that image somewhere. Now you're constantly imaging that computer. And so if the server were to go down for whatever reason, and it sounds like this is a, I don't know what type of server this is. I've mentioned in the past, I think it was on this show early on, that I had a server go down and the motherboard was down and they were down for one day until the motherboard came in and that was fine. But then the motherboard was wrong and then they were down for 3 days and that became a problem. We got them up and running. They have chosen not to do what I have suggested them doing, is doing something like Shadow Protect, where then you can make those images. Those images then get stored. You have a full image that gets created and then incremental images every hour. And then what happens is if the server goes down, Shadow Protect is smart enough that you could actually go to your local big box store, buy just a server, preload it, grab the hard drives, put it in there, boot from the image, put the image right back on the server, and now you're back up and running. So your downtime would be essentially, how much time does it take you to go to the store to get another server or have one on site, just a box with hard drives, nothing, you know, and RAM, nothing, no OS loaded on it. And then your time down would be how long it takes you to image from the computer back over. I've had a server go down and use Shadow Protect. Just, there's multiple of them out there. Macrum Reflect is another one that I have another colleague of mine uses. Shadow Protect, I had a server go down and I used, by the time we got the image up and running, which didn't take very long, I was back up and running with under a half an hour. So that would be my suggestion, is not necessarily having another server on site and trying to image it, because you have to take, if you're going to image that way, I think you're going to have to take the server, your primary server offline to image it, unless you have an application that can do image it while it's running. That's my thoughts.
All right. What I'm going to say first is servers should always be kept under warranty, either 4-hour on-site warranty or next day warranty, some kind of warranty from the manufacturer, HP, Dell, whatever. It should always have that. It's your main server or even multiple servers, whatever. They need to be under warranty first. Second, even if they're under warranty, you might not get a part for a day or two. What I would recommend is another server. We use AppAssure that's doing the backups. It can image it. You put the agent on the server. Your AppAssure server will back it up. You know, it can do every hour. And then if your main server goes down, if your AppAssure box is strong enough, you know, enough RAM, enough processor, you can spin up that virtual machine right on the backup server. And then when you get your other server back up, you can push that back. Or if you need a new server, you can restore back to the new server. But while that server is down until you get a new one, you can spin up and work off the virtual machine that AppAssure created. But it sounds to me like the eBay server, I don't know if I rely on that.
Well, I think they got the motherboard from eBay. That's what I read out of it, is that they didn't get a new server. They had to replace the motherboard, and they bought the motherboard off eBay. And now they're concerned that come in the future that an issue like that is going to happen again.
Yeah. It did say how old the server is as well.
Right.
Yeah, and that's part of the trouble, is if you're at the point where you're having to go to eBay for your parts, it might be time for a new server. But again, this might be a situation where, you know, they're not ready for it. But I do agree with just about everything you guys have said in terms of, you know, one of the things to do is, you know, have all the spare parts on hand. Maybe you don't have the identical full blown server ready to go, but you've got the motherboard, you've got the memory, you've got a power supply, you've got extra hard, I mean, whatever, you have what you need on site. Make the customer purchase all of that stuff, so next time if something happens, at least the part's already there. But I'm probably a little bit closer to Rainey in terms of having a server, you know, preferably an HP or Dell, in my opinion, that you're always going to keep under warranty. And the warranties that I do are the max that I can do in terms of when you first get the server, which most of the HP is 5 years, but I do five year, 365, 24-hour, 4-hour response. That way, if something does happen hardware-wise, HP is required by their SLA to be on site with a tech and a part in 4 hours to fix the system.
That's not always true.
Yeah, well, it's not, but
they come up with their things like, well, it's a 4-hour response, but we got to order the part. And I say, well, then what's this 4-hour thing? Well, we order the part within 4 hours. Or something. It's usually pretty quick, but
I was going to say, I've always had HP show up at within 4 hours.
Oh, not me.
No,
not me.
Sorry.
Maybe that's because we're all the way in Louisiana. You know, we're not a hub. You know, center of action in around Miami.
There's a bayou to get around, and you know,
I think I take the P road down the bayou. I mean, it's hard to get down around here. Yeah. Watch out for the alligators trying to get you.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you on basically some sort of image program, whether it's I use Datto, and we are getting boxes big enough to image the drive of every server, and if that server goes down, the Datto can be spun up, have the IP address change, and they can run off the Datto as if they're running off the server until a new one can be put back in place and the image restored. Shadow Protect is a good product, and Acronis. If you're willing to put a little bit of work in, Acronis is a little less expensive, but you can pretty much accomplish most of what you need with Acronis. And who mentioned going down to the local box store?
Well, that was me, just because I know that Shadow Protect can image, like you can take a Dell image with Shadow Protect and then restore that image to just a vanilla box.
Okay. I would recommend that for small offices. For big offices, like some of my clients, I just tell them we are not getting a server from a local store. You're going to get a real server from a real vendor with real server hardware. But the bigger the business, the more they understand that, and they're going to be more willing to pay for, you know, disaster recovery as opposed to your smaller stores. And I know a lot of them have, you know, desktops running as servers, so those options are a lot more pliable for the smaller offices. Just image a machine, throw it on another workstation, and you're good to go.
Now, let's not forget, on the email, they didn't want to pay for the whatever. The cost was more than they can afford for a new motherboard, right? So a lot of times,
I think that was the fact that they were down for a week. I don't think it was the actual cost of the board.
Let's see. They advised me that the server had the MoBo die and the cost was more than they could afford.
Well, okay.
So a lot of times customers don't want the downtime, but they don't want to pay for the backup, right? So a lot of places, this is going to be their decision to make, their risk analysis. What do we think our risk is of the server going down, and how much will it cost to mitigate that risk? So if it's going to cost $5,000 for a good backup system with that's imaging every hour that we can boot up a virtual machine, what's the likelihood, what risk are we willing to accept if we're not going to pay that? So it really has to be a discussion for them to do some risk analysis versus cost benefit of, do we want to pay this in case our server goes down, knowing that if we don't have it, we're going to have downtime for a week. What's the cost of that downtime for a week versus what's the cost of a backup server? So, and companies have to make that decision. You present them with the facts of the downtime versus the likelihood of it happening, which isn't very likely if you've got good hardware. But if you have old hardware, that might be more important to have a good backup server. But again, each client's going to have to make that decision for themselves. We can only give them the options, and they have to make the decision.
Just like everything else we do, the risk analysis, server versus backup, virus versus antivirus.
Yep, and have it all in email so you have it documented. Yep. You didn't tell us that was going to happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. My foreshadowing skills are a little rusty.
No, I always tell them your server will die. Yeah. Everything you have will go wrong. So we need a backup. So, all right, so hope we have right. answered that question.
All right, Marty G., thank you for writing in.
And I've got one, a couple more. What time are we at? We got time?
We have plenty of time. Did you get a private email?
No, this is a story. Another story.
Story time with Matt.
So this is both these things are at one client. I'll go over both of them.
We need to put in jingles. I just thought of that. Story time.
Marvin likes jingles.
I can do jingles, but we don't have a production budget for that.
No, okay. Never mind.
We'll have to run a cost analysis on that.
Jingles, no jingles. Some stuff will die.
That's right.
What is the listener enjoyment if we have jingles or no jingles? We really need somebody to want to report. Okay. So a lot of times we get calls from clients and they tell us what they're doing. They don't tell us the end goal. They just say, I want this. So this is the first thing from this client. They call and tell me, we can't print from the iPad. Okay. It should work. I can stop by and take a look at it. I stop by. The printer's asleep. I smack it around and wake it up. Get up, you lazy printer.
As you should.
I test from my phone. I'm an iPhone user. And it works. And they said, well, no, we don't want to print to that printer. We want to print to this other printer in the front. Okay. So I look it up. It is an AirPrint printer, but it's not showing up as an available AirPrint printer. Well, that's because it hooked it up with a USB connection to the local computer. So first thing is get it on the network. Do my normal thing. I do a reservation because I want to see it on the server. I want to know what the IP address is. Get it on the network. Still not showing up. Okay. Update the firmware. I found that this could be a problem with this printer. It's an HP 1102W. Update the firmware. It shows up. I can print from my phone. I say, okay, try from your iPad. And they said, nope, doesn't work. Okay, show me what you're doing. They were going to the Square app to print receipts. And right on the front, it says real big, no Bluetooth printers detected. I said, okay, you said you wanted to print from the iPad. You never told me that you needed to print from Square. Square only talks to Bluetooth printers. So I printed from the iPad normal, and it worked. And I had to show them, see this big thing? No Bluetooth printers? You don't have any Bluetooth printers here. And of course, they got all upset that I was there for an hour and they still can't print. I said, well, it says right here, Bluetooth printer. You didn't tell me you were trying to print from Square. You didn't tell me any of this stuff. But on the bright side, you can now print to this printer from your iPhone or iPad as long as you're not in Square. Now, the next day, remember, I didn't even touch the iPad. The next day, they called me and they said, hey, what did you do yesterday? Because now we can't use Square at all. We can't swipe cards. We can't do anything. I said, I enabled AirPrint to the printer. I never even touched the iPad. She said, okay, well, we'll call you back if we need. Well, they called back the next day, but they called back because the internet was down. So I said, let's check lights. Are there lights on the router? Yes. Are there lights on the modem? No. Is it plugged in? Yes. Okay, unplug it, plug it back in. Does anything happen? No. They said, we already called the ISP. The ISP has a problem with the modem. They can't see the modem. Well, of course, it's off. I mean, they're not going to. I said, what did they tell you? They said, we'll need a new modem and just go pick one up at the local store. I said, well, don't they supplied the modem. I don't like buying, personally, I don't like buying modems from the store. Because when you call the ISP, this ISP, they always want to blame the modem if you didn't get it from them. They can see it's a third-party supplied modem. They always go, oh, it must be your modem. It must be your modem. So anyway, she says, well, I'm going to the store. I said, fine, I'll come meet you at your office. Get back to her office. She's there. We call the ISP because they have to provision the modem on their network. And we give them the serial number, the MAC address, and they say, that's not an approved modem. Okay. She says, I was on the phone for an hour with y'all this morning. Y'all just told me to go get a modem. You never told me to get a approved modem. You didn't even tell me that there was such a thing as an approved modem. So while she's arguing, I take the power adapter from the modem she got, plug in their old modem, and it powers up. So problem solved. I said, look, when they come out tomorrow, because you already had an appointment for them to come out tomorrow, just get a new adapter from them. Or if they can't just give you the adapter, just buy a whole new set. You have a spare modem and you have the AC adapter. Well, anyway, they couldn't do that. She paid $80 for a modem. And since the ISP wouldn't sell them just an AC adapter, she's paying $80 for an AC adapter. And while I was there, I said, hey, did you get your square working? Oh, yeah, we didn't charge a square reader. I know them. I said, and you're trying to blame me for that? That call I got, what did you do yesterday? I think someone owes someone an apology. Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. I meant to call and tell you, but the internet was down and they got on me. So, yeah, blame as usual, right? We get blamed for everything.
Right. It was the modem. You're their modem.
That's right. While you were there.
They didn't blame me for the internet, but she did call and ask, what did I do yesterday?
Yeah, it's nice when we have, I mean, it's nice that I think each of us have our some customers that are very strict and you just, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And then you have other customers where you can joke around like that. And that makes for a really fun working relationship.
Yeah. This is one of those clients that only want me. You know, they know a lot of clients only want me. And I don't go on the road a lot, but for some clients I do. I leave and I have to, when I was gone for an hour, I had 10 tickets come through that I have to deal with because I was gone for an hour, but that's common. So, but some clients, they only want me. Can you really blame them?
Well, of course we cannot.
I can a little.
You can a little. I try and tell them, look, I'm going to send a tech out there. If he needs something, he can call you. But some of them just say, no, I'll wait for you. Okay, I'll be gone for the next 6 months. We'll wait.
Internet will be down. Well, it sounds like you guys, I mean, sometimes I come on the show and you guys have these great stories. And I went out and did a job on Monday and I get there and I reloaded a computer. This was a Windows XP machine that I reloaded to Windows 7, deployed it. And the monitor's not turning on. And the guy goes, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, but I think the monitor's going out. I'm like, well, okay. So I don't know if it's the monitor or if it's the display port to VGA adapter. So on this card, there was also a DVI to VGA. So I end up having to drive, go get another adapter, come back. The monitor is actually purple and it's dying. They don't have another monitor. So I had to end up joining it to the domain and setting it up, moving all the files over on my phone, using my phone as the remote tool to connect.
Oh, really?
To connect to it. But I mean, that was just kind of one of those ones where I ended up leaving and just going, okay, I'm finally done with that project, as opposed to having, you know, one where it's a little bit of fun. There's a lot of times where sometimes the projects are fun and you walk away and you go, it's a good day. Some days you just wish I stayed in bed.
Some days you feel like a nut.
Oh, I had a client today wire transfer a large sum of money to a bogus account.
That's always good.
Yeah, this happened to another client. What happened today? They called and said, they called and said their emails were hacked. I said, okay, what do you mean your emails are hacked? Somebody's in our system, they said. Okay. Whoa, calm down here. Why do you think someone's in your system? And she showed me, and I got a message from the receptionist saying that they transferred money. So I said, show me what's going on. And she showed me just a random spam message. I said, okay, that's just spam. This has nothing to do with a bank account. Oh, I just wanted to show you that one. Okay, well, show me what the bank account stuff is. Shows me another random one. I said, wait, I'm not following you. Is this related to the bank? I don't see anything about a bank transfer. Oh, no, I just wanted to show you this one, too. I said, okay, you can show me all your spam, or you can show me what you called for about the bank transfer.
Oh, I deleted that.
Yeah. I said, I'm guessing, I'm only guessing, and I'm telling her this, that somebody emailed you saying to transfer this money. I need to see that email. So she says, well, here it is. I said, well, this is not it. This is someone else forwarding to you. Are you the one who got the original email? Oh, no, it was so-and-so. Okay, let's get on her computer. I got with her. Show me the first email you got about this wire transfer. So she shows me. And, of course, it's spoofed. It's not from the person she said it was from. I showed her how to see that the sender was different. The reply to address was the same domain, but dot something else, right? Instead of .com, it was dot something. And in the email, it says, please reply to this email. So, and I showed her, they want you to reply to this email because reply to is different. They once you've replied, they've got you in the string, and now you can just send back and forth. I said, did you call this person and verify that they sent this email, or did you just rely on this one email? And of course, she said, I just relied on the email. I said, okay, so how did you know this was even a problem? She said, well, they call us, said they never got the money, and I have the email that proves that I transferred it. Well, yeah, no one's – again, I showed you, you did transfer it just to the wrong people. And, of course, she felt, you know, how would you feel if you transferred a large amount of money to somebody? But I had to show her that the email was – now, I said somebody is in something, but this email, these headers, looks like they're in their system. It looks like they – knew her signature, they knew her, and they knew that you transferred money to them. So it looks to me like they sent you the email knowing that you do wire transfer them some money. Because if they spoofed their account, right, I'm thinking that they're in their system and they saw everyone that was sending money to her, to that company. Because I've had other clients transfer money, but they spoofed somebody internal. Like they spoofed the president's email and sent a message internally, right, which they thought it was internally, to the girl who does the wire transfers. This came from outside, from China, into them, and she just transferred the money. But, yeah.
I think I may be able to one-up you on that one, that story, because I just got a call from a client today. Now, this client, I needed their credit card information for some hosted exchange, and they said, well, we don't have one right now because, for some reason, our credit cards are always getting hijacked and always getting taken, and somebody keeps using them in other places, and we don't know why it's causing it. So they called the bank today, and they got another credit card issued to them. Or they got the other day, and they ended up getting it today. They called the bank, and they said, it keeps, you know, the credit card keeps getting taken. Somebody keeps taking our credit card number and using it overseas. And so the bank actually tells them, it sounds like somebody's hijacked into your computer.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
From the
before.
Bank. And so guess what I'm doing tonight?
Yeah.
That's my job tonight, is to scan this computer. And I actually, when I talked to the client, I said, you know, I said, how many places do you use that credit card? She says, well, I use it all the time to pay all my online bills. I said, okay, so one of the ways that you can track this, which is going to be a huge giant pain, is get a prepaid card for every one of those clients and then follow up with every one of those cards to see which card gets taken. And then maybe it could be, you know, maybe you're giving your card to somebody who's not being secured and there's somebody in their, you know, somebody's in their system grabbing their cards, the cards that you're sending them. She goes, yeah, no, I don't think I want to do that. Said, okay. So, but yeah, they had a bank say, maybe somebody's in your system. You probably should have an IT guy look at your computer.
Yeah, that's nice of them to say that.
Right. So I only went up to you because it came from a bank.
Yeah, the bank people, they're not the swiftest. They're not IT people. They're not computer people.
I'm glad they can deposit my check, though.
Yeah. Well, it's nice they give us some work, right? Now you get to bill this customer because they said to do that.
And this isn't a retainer customer. This is a 1 hour. This is anything more than yes or no is an hour.
And it's overtime because it's after hours.
Yeah. Well, I haven't implemented that, but I will.
Oh.
That's on my to-do 2017 to-do list.
Starting January 1st. Well, starting January 2nd, right? Because January 1st will be holiday rates.
Right. I need, is sending out, on is basically at the end of this month, starting sending out notices, letting him know that starting in 2017. I had to talk with Liam Tidwell about this today.
Yeah, after hours have to be more. I mean, if you call a plumber after hours, they're going to charge you more.
Part of it started because I saw a network go down and I was on site at 5:30 this morning to reboot a router. And then I called you because I needed to know a router replacement, some information on that. So I've talked to everybody today.
See, 5:30, I will never know of a problem with a client at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, I knew about the problem at 10 o'clock last night, but their first employee gets in at 5:30 in the morning and I wanted to make sure the network was up. So I was in the parking lot waiting for them to show up this morning.
Wow, that's dedication. See, my phone's on silent. I turn off everything. Clients don't have my cell phone number, but they could email me all night long and I would never see it until I wake up and get dressed and then look at my email and then go, oh, look, I got some email. I'll get to it after I bring my daughter to school and go to work.
After I finish my bowl of Cheerios.
Gotta have personal time, right?
I'm working on
work. Can't work 24/7. You can't. I mean, you'll burn out.
No, I know.
Way too fast.
That is my. That's my New Year's resolution is limits.
And it's so nice. Look, I've reset passwords on Christmas Day, Christmas morning once because they needed to get in. The email was, I need to get in. I reset. You know, I stopped. We were opening presents Christmas morning one year. I stopped and reset that password. Do you know why? Because it took me 5 minutes and I billed them $300. Merry Christmas. But that's holiday rates. 2 hours minimum overtime rate on a holiday. And hey, they need their password reset on Christmas morning. I'll do it for that much. I said, hey, family, I'll be back in 5. I got to pay for some of these presents.
That's right. Honey, don't open that present. I'm going to pay for it right now.
But they haven't called again after that bill on Christmas Day. So
they waited till 8 a.m. day after Christmas.
They probably got that bill like, what? Who called them on Christmas Day?
You know why they haven't called again? No.
The roof is on. Oh,
that is the
who one. Is that? Is that you,
that's
Martin?
That's me. That's me. Sorry, everybody.
That doesn't sound or
well, shouldn't you be running out the door or something?
No, I hear.
Is the wife cooking dinner?
I'm choosing to not comment.
That did not sound orgastic.
You plead the fifth, right?
I totally plead the fifth. Totally. It's going on. There it is.
Whew.
It smells like a...
Sounds like you're going to have a good dinner.
That was your portable hard drive repair toolkit.
That...
Wasn't it?
No, that actually was going to be mashed cauliflower. I can tell you that right now. And I'm upstairs. That's burnt cauliflower.
You know what? I'm sorry, but you're probably better off than it's
burnt. See, I like mashed cauliflower. I know you don't like mashed cauliflower. We've had this discussion.
If my wife was making mashed cauliflower, I would only hope to hear the smoke alarm sound.
And I was looking forward to it. And it is. It's. I'm upstairs, and it's.
Well, I guess with that, we should let you go.
Yeah, I may want to go.
Yeah, why don't you fire up that Grubhub app and, honey, I'll take care of this.
You know, it's Oregon. There must be a restaurant nearby that can deliver you on waiter some more mashed cauliflower.
I don't. It's probably, but it's snowed and it's nasty out here, so I'm gonna have to just stick with the meatballs that I was making tonight. I think those are good. I know.
You might want to heat those up yourself. You don't want to take any chances.
Again, pleading the fifth.
All right. So, if anybody wants to email us, comments, questions,
recipes,
podnutspro@podnuts.com,
informedit.net.
And I'm going to change the Ben Franklin aphorism for today. I'm sorry.
It's gonna be like Zoolander.
Must be good. We're building anticipation.
Dine with little, sup with less, do better still, sleep supper less. All right, hang on. Let me redo this.
That hurts, man.
Radio voice. So, okay. Dine with little, sup with less. Do better still, sleep supperless.
I'm leaving. I'm going home.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. Wait, I've got one more. Eat to live and not live to eat.
Okay.
A bonus.
I'm leaving. This is the last time I'm going to be on the show with you guys.
Good night, everybody. And we're out.
All right, we can stop recording.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.